by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah. Even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Welcome back. The viewers of Rise and Shine, inshallah, we'll start the program like usual. Let's listen to a blessing of sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, مَا جَلَسَ قَوْمُ مَجْلِسًا لَمْ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ فِيهِ وَلَمْ يُصَلُّوا عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّهِمْ إِلَّا كَانَ عَلَيْهِمْ تِرَةً فَإِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُمْ وَإِنْ شَاءَ غَفَرَ لَهُمْ. That the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam said, the gathering in which people do not praise Allah and do not send salat upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam will be a means of regret on the Day of Judgment. If Allah wills, He will punish them, and if He wills, He will forgive them. So whenever we are in a gathering with our friends, we should try and praise Allah, send to talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talk about the religion, and send durood upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So inshallah, now we'll go on to the first segment of the show, which is the tilawat of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rahm wala.
أَمْ لِلْإِنسَانِ مَا تَمَنَّا.
کیا آدمی کو مل جائے گا جو کچھ وہ خیال باندھے.
فَلِلَّهِ الْآخِرَةُ وَالْأُولَى.
تو آخرت اور دنیا سب کا مالک اللہ ہی ہے.
وَكَمْ مِن مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ لَا تُغْنِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا مِن بَعْدِ أَن يَأْذَنَ اللَّهُ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَيَرْضَى.
اور کتنے ہی فرشتے ہیں آسمانوں میں کہ ان کی سفارش کچھ کام نہیں آتی مگر جب کہ اللہ اجازت دے دے جس کے لیے چاہے اور پسند فرمائے.
ان الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة ليسمون الملائكة تسمية الأنثى.
بے شک وہ جو آخرت پر ایمان نہیں رکھتے ہیں ملائکہ کا نام عورتوں کا سا رکھتے ہیں.
وَمَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ.
اور انہیں اس کی کچھ خبر نہیں وہ تو نرے گمان کے پیچھے ہیں.
وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا.
اور بے شک گمان یقین کی جگہ کچھ کام نہیں دیتا.
فَأَعْرِضْ عَن مَّن تَوَلَّى عَن ذِكْرِنَا وَلَمْ يُرِدْ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا.
تو تم اس سے منہ پھیر لو جو ہماری یاد سے پھرا اور اس نے نہ چاہی مگر دنیا کی زندگی.
ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ.
یہاں تک ان کے علم کی پہنچ ہے.
ان ربك هو اعلم بمن ضل عن سبيله وهو اعلم بمن اهتدى.
بے شک تمہارا رب خوب جانتا ہے جو اس کی راہ سے بہکا اور وہ خوب جانتا ہے جس نے راہ پائی.
وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسَاءُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَيَجْزِيَ الَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا بِالْحُسْنَى.
اور اللہ ہی کا ہے جو کچھ آسمانوں میں ہے اور جو کچھ زمین میں، تاکہ برائی کرنے والوں کو ان کے کیے کا بدلہ دے اور نیکی کرنے والوں کو نہایت اچھا صلہ عطا فرمائے۔
الذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش إلا اللمم،
وہ جو بڑے گناہوں اور بے حیائیوں سے بچتے ہیں مگر اتنا کہ گناہ کے پاس گئے اور رک گئے۔
ان ربك واسع المغفرة،
بے شک تمہارے رب کی مغفرت وسیع ہے۔
هو اعلم بكم اذ انشأكم من الارض واذ انتم اجنة في بطون امهاتكم،
وہ تمہیں خوب جانتا ہے، تمہیں مٹی سے پیدا کیا اور جب تم اپنی ماؤں کے پیٹ میں حمل تھے۔
فلا تزکوا انفسکم،
تو آپ اپنی جانوں کو ستھرا نہ بتاؤ۔
هو اعلم بمن اتقى،
وہ خوب جانتا ہے جو پرہیزگار ہیں۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم۔ That was the recitation of verse 24-32 of Surah Najm. Inshallah, now we'll go through the English translation of these verses. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Verse 24. Or will man have whatever he desires? Verse 25. So Allah alone is the master of the hereafter and this world. Verse 26. And how many angels are there in the heavens whose intercession does not benefit at all, except after Allah grants permission for whomsoever He wills and whomsoever He is pleased with. Verse 27. Indeed, those who do not believe in the hereafter, they name the angels with the female names. Verse 28. They have no knowledge to support this. They follow mere assumptions, and indeed assumptions cannot replace truth. Verse 29. So turn away from the one who turned away from our remembrance and only desired the life of this world. Verse 30. This is the extent of their knowledge. Indeed, your Lord is fully aware of the one who strayed from his path, and he is fully aware of the one who attained guidance. Verse 31. And to Allah belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth, that He may recompense those who do evil for what they did, and He may recompense those who perform righteous deeds with the most beautiful reward, i.e. paradise. And verse 32, and those who refrain from major sins and indecencies accept the approach to sin, indeed the forgiveness of your Lord is vast. He knows you full well when He created you from the earth, when you were a fetus in your mother's wombs. So do not declare purity for yourselves. He is fully aware of the one who adopted piety. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. We should aim to daily recite as much Quran as possible, recite it with the translation and commentary, so we can get a better understanding of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. So inshallah, now we'll go on to the next segment of the show, which is the Kalam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
دل تڑپ رہا ہے،
میرا جل رہا ہے سینہ۔
میرا دل تڑپ رہا ہے،
میرا جل رہا ہے سینہ۔
کہ دوا وہی ملے گی، کہ دوا وہی ملے گی،
مجھ لے چلو مدینہ،
مجھ لے چلو مدینہ۔
مرہم روح جا مدینہ ہے، مرکز دو جگہ مدینہ ہے، مرکز دو جگہ مدینہ ہے۔
ٹھوکرے در بدر کی کیوں کھاؤں، کھاؤ میرا دار
کر جا
جائے آگو فغا مدینہ گئے جائے آگو فغا مدینہ گئے جس کو عشق کا مل گیا اس کا جس کو عشق کا مل گیا اس کا دل وہاں ہے جہاں مدینہ ہے دل وہاں ہے جہاں مدینہ ہے
مرہم مدینہ جا مدینہ ہے مرکز دو جہاں مدینہ ہے
اے مدینے کو ڈھونڈنے والو میں بتاؤں کہاں مدینہ ہے میں بتاؤں کہاں مدینہ ہے
عاشقان رسول کے دل میں عاشقان رسول کے دل میں فضل رب سے نہا مدینہ ہے فضل رب سے نہا مدینہ ہے
مرہم مدینہ
کاش یا رب نبی کے جلووں میں کاش یا رب نبی کے جلووں میں موت آئے جاگا مدینہ گئے موت آئے جاگا مدینہ گئے
مرہم مدینہ جا مدینہ ہے مرکز دو جاگا مدینہ ہے
یا خدا جو متا ہوا عطا یا خدا جو متا ہوا عطا پھر سے پہنچے جہاں مدینہ گئے پھر سے پہنچے جہاں مدینہ گئے
مدینہ
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. That was the kalam of the day. Inshallah, now we're going to go into the topic of today's program. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam got revelation at the age of 40. It was the age when the Prophet sallallahu got the first revelation. And in that, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, just before he physically departed from this world, he sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam got the last revelation. And the scholar said the last revelation in the Holy Quran was a verse of Surah Baqarah. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And fear that day in which you shall return to Allah, and every soul will be compensated in full according to what it had earned, and they will not be wronged. So this was the last verse, which was according to Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas, this was the last verse revealed to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. There's a lot of background and things which we can take from this verse and overall from Surah Baqarah. But I think on the line at this moment of time, alhamdulillah, we have our guest on the line. We have our, all the way from Durban, South Africa, we have our Hafiz Noshad Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Huzur?
Alhamdulillah, how are you, Hafiz Sahib?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal, mashallah.
Today's topic is regarding death. Either person has two choices, either get a good death, he'll have a bad death. And thus, all depends upon a person is individually how he worship acts in this dunya, what he does in this dunya. So, do you have any message or anything you would like to tell the views of Rise and Shine?
Well, we all know that certainly death is a guarantee. It is the terminator of all pleasures. But what's important is whether I am preparing for that or not. Now, me as a Muslim, which Muslim does not want to have a good death? We all want to, but we need to analyze that how am I living my life? Am I living my life in accordance to obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not? If I'm hanging around with bad company, if I'm doing bad things, if I'm engaged in sinning, and that's my habit, it's become punctual in my life, then what if whilst committing sins, the angel of death comes for us? Would that be a good death? Of course it's going to be a bad death. So why do I put myself in these kind of situations of being in the company of those who are taking me towards sins? Why do I continue committing sins when I know any moment, any time that Malakul Maut alayhi salam is going to come for me? Yet I still want a good death, but my actions are speaking otherwise. What is a good death? Subhanallah. Well, imagine if you're on your deathbed and you are surrounded by your family members, you are surrounded by your loved ones, and subhanAllah, they're encouraging you to recite the Kalima Sharif, and your last words are the Kalima Sharif. Is that not a good death? We always ask, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, grant us a good death, in a good shaheed maut whilst we are fasting in Medina Sharif. We always ask for this. But the king of Medina, am I living up to what he commanded, what he taught, yet I still want a good death? Is that not a contradiction? So I need to ask myself that if I truly want a good death, am I doing those things that will allow me to have a good death through the permission and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or am I doing those things that are leading to shaitan's happiness, and thereby, if I'm pleasing shaitan through my bad ways, my evil ways, my bad habits, if I'm pleasing shaitan, then means I'm displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm displeasing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how can I have a good death? Yes, a person's end, that is known to Allah and His Rasul. We don't know how we're going to go. But what is important is how am I living my life right now? That may determine how I'm going to leave this world. And that will determine how I'm raised on the day of judgment, who I want to be with. I want to be with in the company of the tyrants and oppressors, like we saw at Karbala, or I want to be with the master of the youth of Jannah, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, radiallahu anhumah. I have to follow them, because love forces the lover to follow the beloved. Even if I don't like it, even if it's not within what suits me, but my beloved likes it, my beloved has ordered it, so necessarily I have to follow that pathway.
Some people say, oh, Allah is the most merciful, so regardless of whichever company I'm in or whatever I'm doing, hopefully I'll get forgiven. What do you have regarding people that have this mentality?
A wonderful and strategic trick of shaitan. That yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is certainly the most merciful, but also He is the all just as well. Wherever there's an action, there's a reaction to that. And if I do wrong, I'm with a bad company, and that could lead to a bad death. What guarantee do I have? Do I have anything in writing? And definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to forgive me. We don't have that guarantee. Yes, the mercy of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is there without a shadow of doubt. But I have no guarantee that I'm going to be forgiven. What if I'm the one who is not forgiven? That's my mentality, how my mentality as a Muslim, as a believer must be. My mindset must be that, you know what, maybe I'm the one who won't be forgiven because of my gunas, because of my sins, because of my evil ways. I can't just say, no, Allah is merciful, He'll forgive. It's as if I'm saying, Allah has to forgive me. Because He's merciful, so He has to forgive me. Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't have to do anything. We have to obey Allah. We have to. Allah Azza wa Jalla doesn't have to. It's in our benefit if we obey Allah and obey the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our benefit. Then we make dua, Ya Allah, I'm trying, I'm weak, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Grant me a good death. Ya Allah, grant me a death in Medina. Then we can, you know, that kind of a dua is justified if I'm trying, I'm putting in efforts, I'm asking for forgiveness. And, you know, those people who are filling out nek amal, pious deeds on a daily basis, not just filling out, but trying their best to practice upon it. These are things that will help one, through the mercy of Allah, to attain that good death. Because in that, for those who are filling and practicing, they know this is preparation. It is all about preparation for the pleasure of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, preparation for what is coming. Death is imminent. We're seeing it all the time. We're hearing it all the time. Messages almost every day are coming. So and so, marhum has passed away. Am I taking a lesson from that? Why just say, oh, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and it's back to my normal bad habits? What lessons am I taking? Like from the martyrs of Karbala, what lessons am I taking? That is the ultimate good death. To be slain in the path of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. That's why we remember them. We don't mourn the martyrs. The martyrs are alive. We don't mourn those who are alive. So that's the ultimate good death in the sight of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. If I want a good death like that, my actions have to speak louder than my words.
Also, there's a person who wants to move from his bad company and he wants to go to the good side, but he's finding it really difficult. Because he thinks that I'm going to lose all my friends. There'll be no one with me. What could that person do? What advice could we give him so he can move out from that society or that group that he's with and move on to the good people, like the environment of Dawud Islami?
Our teachers used to tell us, you change your mindset and you change everything. That is where it starts. Number one, you change your mindset. Then who are truly my friends? The people that are phoning me or taking me towards the clubs and the pubs and to music and alcohol and gambling and all these vices. Are those my friends? Those are witnesses against me on the day of judgment. I'm a witness against them on the day of judgment. So the definition of who is a true friend, I need to bring it into my mind. A true friend is the one who's going to tell you, hey, salah time. Did you read the Quran today? Let's practice on this sunnah. Let's do this to be Allah and His Rasul. Let's follow this, what the Sharia says. That is a true friend. If you've got somebody like that, hold on to them. And subhanAllah, in these days of darkness, Dawud Islami is a lighthouse. It is that light at the end of the tunnel. Ask those who are involved, they will tell you, where would we be? Where would I be if I take out Dawud Islami for my life? I know. And all those who are involved in it, they know as well. We'll be like so many of the people out there, confused. because there are people intentionally putting posts and these kind of things to confuse the masses, to create doubt and to sow seeds of doubts in their minds, in their hearts. But Dawud Sami is that organization. No matter what madhab you are, no matter what silsila and tariqah you are, so long as you love Allah and His Rasul, so long as you love Sahaba, Ahlul Bayt and Awliya Allah, there's a place for you. So this is the time to take advantage. Don't think about yourself only. Think about the future generations. Think about your offspring, about your children, about your grandchildren if you have any. Because Dawud Sami is a support base, a support structure to help us. Even if my eyes close today, I know my children, my offspring are in good hands.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Beautiful advice. Hafiz Sahib, JazakAllah for your time. JazakAllah for coming. InshaAllah, we'll hear from you very soon again, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, Hafiz, our Hafiz Nushad Sahib from South Africa, who was giving good advice regarding how a person should consider and think about which company is in and how a person should reflect. And the excuse which people make usually that Allah is most merciful. This is the trick of shaitan. He is the most merciful, but you have to look at Allah is the most just as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to look at balance. Balance a check. Look at His mercy and look at Allah's wrath as well. You have to keep this in the balance. And from this conversation, you probably got an idea of today's topic, which is regarding death. And the verse of the Quran, which I mentioned at the beginning before we took the guest on the line, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And fear that day in which you shall return to Allah, and every soul will be compensated in full according to what it had earned, and they will not be wronged. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma state that this verse is the final verse of the Quran revealed to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. According to one narration, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam passed away 21 days after this verse was revealed. And this surah overall, Surah Baqarah, it has 1,000 rulings and 1,000 prohibitions. And this surah has explained the states of previous nations. It has rulings regarding salah, qibla, fasting, hajj, zakat, marriage and divorce. This surah is very vast, has many topics in it. And Allah Almighty has commanded us to fear the day we return to Him. And why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to fear that day? And what is that day? The commentators of the Holy Quran, they say that it is the day that Sayyidina Israel alayhi salam will take our souls, will be washed, shrouded and placed into our graves. Another commentary of this verse, it is the fearful day, the ground will be turned into copper, the skies will be folded, and the sun will be burning a quarter of a mile away from us. Every human will be brought back to life and gathered for judgment. These are the 2 days Allah has commanded us to fear. Which days? The day we enter the grave, the day we leave this world, and the day of judgment. These are the 2 days we as Muslims need to fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut." Every soul shall taste death. Whether you are a believer or you have a person who does not have a faith, one thing everyone agrees on, and that one thing is death. Everyone believes that we will die. Everyone believes that death will come to us. And then the belief regarding what is after death, that is determined regarding your faith. And as Muslims, we believe there's afterlife. We believe that this is a temporary world, there's a world after this, which is eternal. And we need to prepare ourselves for the eternal world. And Allah says in the Quran, اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون. The reckoning of the people is near and they have turned their faces in negligence. Sayyidina Sheikh Sultan Bahu Rahmatullahi Ta'ala states, O seekers of the world, you have sacrificed the external, serene and peaceful abode of paradise for the temporary luxuries of the world. Who advised you to adopt this loss? What is your life in this world? It will pass by similar to how water evaporates when making food. Then you will be placed into the narrow grave such that you will be unable to turn to another side. After that, Allah Almighty will hold you accountable for all of your actions. There will be no shortcoming in this. O devotees of the Messenger, think carefully. You will be helpless on that day and powerless when the angel of death, alayhi salam, arrives to take our soul. Our breathing will come to a halt and our soul will separate from our weakening body. On that day, the kingdom of a king and the poverty of the needy will be of no use. The strength of the mighty and the excuses of the weak will not be considered. That day, no matter how strong you were in this world, no matter how much you thought, yes, I've got the money, I've got everything, I've got the treasures, I've got the cars, I've got the palaces, the houses, I've got the garments, the clothes. No matter what you're wearing, what you have now, when you leave this world, nothing's going to go with you. Your money is going to stay behind. Your houses will stay behind. Your cars will stay behind. Your friends will stay behind. It's going to only going to be you in the grip on your own. Just imagine that. Just imagine yourself being in the dark and lonely grave. You have no one to help you. You have no one there to come for assistance. Allahu Akbar. And if you actually fear death, if we actually truly began to fear death, it will change our mentality. We will adopt a different mentality. We will live our lives performing good deeds. We'll have hatred for sins. The masjids will become full and sins will be abundant. Allahu Akbar. But we suddenly don't have this mentality. If we did, people will not swear or fight. There'll be no deception in business. The curse of interest will be no more. Our society can become beautiful and a ideal place to be. But only when everyone begins to fear death. Allahu Akbar. To fear that day. Once we fear the day we will die, the day our soul will be removed, the day in which we'll be see everything happening around us, but we'll unable to speak. We'll be washed and shrouded. We'll be lowered into the dark depths of the graves. That's why, by Allah, if we begin to fear that day, our way of living will change completely. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kafa bil mauti wa idan." Allah Akbar. That death is enough as a device. Allah Akbar. A man went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained about his hard heart. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that contemplate over the conditions of the graves and heed warnings about being raised after death. This is the curse for the hardness of the heart. If your heart has become stained with the love of sins and it dislikes performing good deeds, you should go to the graveyard. You should look at all the graves. You should ponder and see how many friends of yours are there, how many relatives of yours are there. And ponder what must be the condition in their graves right now. They were like you. They were like us. They were living the life of this world. They were speaking like us. They were living the luxuries, traveling around the world. They had their desires and ambitions in life. But then what happened? Death came and put everything to an end. Allahu Akbar. Today, they are in their graves and soon we shall follow them. Today, they in their graves and soon we shall follow them, people. Allahu Akbar. This is the reality of life. We always want to ask. We always want to know the reality of life. We want to know the purpose of life. This is the reality. The sad, true reality. That we're only in this world for an average 60 years. That's not a guarantee you could die right now. You could have a dying age of 18, 20, 21. We could die at any age. Stop giving this false hope to yourself. Stop giving this false hope that I will become 60, I'll become 50, I'll have kid, then I'll start eating my salah. I'll go umrah, and then I'll start performing reading my salah on time. I'll go hajj, and then I'll keep a beard. Stop giving these false hopes to yourself. This is the tricks of shaitan. This is the trickery of shaitan that he gives you these thoughts. That I'll go and when I hit the age of 40, 50, then I read my salah. Do you know you'll reach that age? Do you know whether you'll reach that age which you desire? No. So why are you giving this false hope to yourself? This includes myself as well. We live in this world. We get lost in this world. But then we have to contemplate and think about reality. We have to think about the actual reality of life, what is, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That I did not create jinn and insan except to worship. That is the reason why we were created. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the incident of Hajjaj bin Yusuf, who was a really oppressive ruler, and an individual was Muhallab, who was one of the commanders of his army. One day Muhallab was wearing silk clothes and was walking in a prideful manner. Sayyiduna Mutarrif bin Abdullah rahmatullahi ta'ala saw this and was inclined to invite him towards goodness. To see rahmatullahi ta'ala approached Muhallab and said, O slave of Allah, the manner of walking is that of the enemies of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Muhallab was the commander of the army and his love for rank and status had affected him adversely. When he saw someone giving him advice, he exclaimed, do you know who I am? Sayyidina Mutarrif bin Abdullah replied softly, yes, I know who you are. Awwaluka nutfatun mazira, that you were firstly a drop of semen. Wa akhiruka jifatun kadira, and eventually you'll become an impure corpse. Between these two states, you carry filth in your gut. Allahu Akbar. Upon hearing this, Muhallab came to his senses and abandoned his prideful walking. Allahu Akbar. Look at this reply. Look how you were first a drop and then you will die. This is the lifespan of a person. That you were a drop and then now you'll become an impure corpse. Allahu Akbar. This is the reality of life. Ask yourself, where are you from? Ask yourself, where am I actually from? Or where will I return to? Allahu Akbar. Inshallah, now, before we carry on, we'll go to the next segment of the show, which is the daily reminder. Once you come back, inshallah, we'll continue. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma has narrated that the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, Man istata'a an yamuta bil madinati falyamut biha fa inni ashfa'u liman yamutu biha. That means, whoever can die in Medina should die in it, because I will intercede for the one who dies in Medina. Commenting on the above hadith, the renowned commentator, the great thinker of the Ummah, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala, has stated, apparently, this good news and guidance were given for all the Muslims, not for Muhajireen only. If a Muslim wishes to meet his death in Medina, he should also try to be blessed with this privilege. He should reside in Medina, especially in old age, and should not go out of it unnecessarily, so that he meets his death there. However, this is only possible by the grace of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would pray, O Lord, grant me death and martyrdom in the city of your beloved. His prayer was amazingly answered. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. He radiallahu ta'ala anhu was attacked during Salatul Fajr in the mihrab and at the praying place of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, which led to his martyrdom there. Respected Mufti further stated, I have seen that some people have been living in Medina for 30 to 40 years. They do not even go out of the city of Medina, lest they meet death outside Medina. Sayyiduna Imam Malik rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi would also do the same thing. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We were on the topic regarding death and how this individual known as Muhallab, how his mentality changed once he realized that where he is actually from or where he will return. And it is stated in the Quran, قُتِلَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا أَكْفَرَ مِنْ أَيِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقَ مِنْ نُطْفَهُ خَلَقَهُ فَقَدَّرَ ثُمَّ السَّبِيلَ يَسَّرَهُ ثُمَّ أَمَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَهُ. Translation from Qantun Iman, may man be destroyed. How ungrateful he is. For what did he create him? From a drop of liquid. He created him and then set various measures for him. Then eased the way for him. Then gave death. And then had him put in the grave. Then when he willed, he resurrected him. Allahu Akbar. From this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses of the Quran. From the these six verses of Holy Quran, you understand the life map or life journey of a person. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that how can a person be ungrateful? Min ayyi shayna khalaka, from what was he created from? Min nutfa khalakahu faqaddara, he was just created from a drop of liquid. And then he created him and then set various measures. And then he eased the way for him. ثُمَّ سَبِيلَ يَسَّرَ ثُمَّ مَاتَهُ فَأَقْبَرَ. And then he gave him death. This is life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us where we were from. He set his guidelines, set guidelines for mankind, what they need to do to be successful. And then death comes and approaches us and then we leave this world. These six verses of Holy Quran have just mapped the life journey of a person. Ask yourselves that what am I doing to prepare myself and how am I mapping my life? Am I mapping it correctly? Am I mapping it in such a way? Am I traveling in this world in such a way where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy with me? Or am I traveling in this world in such a way where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displeased with me? People get heedless of death. And sometimes we need to have a warning, or we need to reflect upon ourselves to get a better understanding and remove this heedlessness away from us. And death is similar, our condition with death is similar to like a pigeon. A pigeon is a well-known bird. When it sees a cat, it has a habit to close its eyes, thinking it is hidden from the cat. However, it faces reality when it gets captured. And that's our example, like we, in regards to death. That we know death exists, but we do not focus. We try to ignore it. But when it will come, there's no way out. And we know that everyone will die, regardless of whether he is rich or poor, a king, a destitute, a pious or a sinner. So one who offers tahajjud or is lazy in offering his prayers, or if he holds a high status or is unemployed, nobody can escape death. Even the Prophet ﷺ tasted death. Prophet ﷺ, their death and our death are different. As Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, he mentions, Anbiya ko bhi ajal aani hai, magar aisi ki keh fakat aani hai. That with the Anbiya alayhim as-salam, death comes for a bit and then they are granted life again. And the reason why they are granted to taste death, just a slight, is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verse, kullu nafsin zaikatul maut, that every soul shall taste death. No one can escape death. And Imam Hassan al-Basri radhi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he once went to Rome and saw something strange. He saw a jungle in which there was a beautiful tent made of silk. There were armed soldiers standing and saying something close to it. Then the greatest scholars and sheikhs of the country arrived. They said something as they stood next to the tent and then left. Then the greatest doctor of the country arrived. Then they also said something next to the tent and left. Then the king and his ministers arrived. They too said something by the tent and left. Imam Hassan al-Basri states that I saw this and became perplexed. I was astonished. I was amazed. That was happening. It was a bit strange. And so I asked what was happening. Someone told me the king's young son passed away and was buried in this tent. Every year when his death anniversary arrives, everyone gathers here like so. First, the soldiers arrive at the tent and say, "Oh, son of the king, if death could be averted by war, we would have saved you by risking our lives." Then the scholars come and say, "Oh, son of the king, if death could be halted by knowledge, we would have certainly saved you." Then the doctors come and say, "Oh, son of the king, if there was a cure for death, we should have treated you." And lastly, the king and his minister arrive and say, "Son, we tried to save you, but what can prevent death? Here are our greetings until next year." When Imam Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi heard this, he made a firm intention to never laugh again and to remain in constant remembrance of the hereafter. Allahu Akbar. Look at this. Not death. No doctors can cure death. No army or no soldiers can protect a leader, can save him from death. No wealth can protect a person from death. Death can come at any time. Death will come at a stipulated time. It's our job that we prepare ourselves for that. Similarly, we also know and accept that death is not in need of causes. It takes place with the command of Allah Almighty. Death is not accidental. It is fixed. It is at a fixed time. If we were to look at it from our own perspective, then death seems to come suddenly. A perfectly healthy person can suffer from a heart attack and die. Or a person can be involved in an accident during a journey and die as a result. This appears to be sudden death, but this is only from our perspective. In reality, our time of death was already destined before our birth. Who will die, in which year, what month, what day, what time, what moment, in what state, and what and where they will die is all decreed by Allah Almighty. We know and accept this. And we need to prepare ourselves and make sure that we are in a good place when death comes to us. That we're in the masjid, we read salah, we read namaz on time. And even though death, the place that we're going to die is determined, but it's our choice where we were at that time of determination. So it's our choice to make that where we're going to be at that time. Are we going to be in the masjid, or are we going to be in a life of sinning? Are we going to be in a life? Are we going to die in the state of intoxication? Are we going to die in the state of drinking alcohol? Allahu Akbar. Sadly, this is the state of the Muslim Ummah. That we have left the teachings of Islam. We have left the message, the true message of Islam. And we sadly adopt other cultures, other societies. Previous nations were like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed those nations. And we need to take lessons from that. We need to take a lesson from this, that the way previous nations were destroyed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can also destroy our nation as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can also destroy this nation. But we need to prepare ourselves. We need to become better Muslims. And the reason why the Muslim Ummah is like this and in this state is because we have left the message of Quran and Sunnah. We've left the message of the Quran and the Hadith. Once you return back to the laws legislated by God, by the laws legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will be able to have this harmony and peace in the dunya, and Muslims will live peacefully. So inshallah, now we'll move on to the next segment of the show, which is the daily hadith. Salu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
A Muslim is often intrigued about a particular matter, and that is, when will the day of judgment occur? Sometimes we don't think about a key question in relation to the hereafter and judgment day. What have I prepared for it? But we're all very eager to learn about the signs of the Day of Judgment. How far is it from our era? Which is not necessarily a wrong thing. But one thing to note here is the way we are eager to know whether Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment, is qareeb or not, we should also prepare for it as well. One hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions certain signs that will occur before the Day of Judgment. Sayyiduna Anas radiyallahu ta'ala is the narrator. He says, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ. I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, إِنَّ مِنْ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ أَنْ يُرْفَعَ الْعِلْمِ. I heard the Prophet alayhi wa sallam say that from the signs of the hour, meaning Judgment Day, is that knowledge will be lifted, will be raised. وَيَكْثُرَ الْجَهْلُ. And ignorance will become widespread. وَيَكْثُرَ الزِّنَا. And adultery, fornication will become rampant, will become rife. وَيَكْثُرَ شُرْبُ الْخَمْرِ. And alcohol will be drunk in large amounts, in abundance. وَيَقِلَّ الرِّجَالُ وَيَكْثُرَ النِّسَاءُ. Males will be less in number and females will be greater in number. حتى يكون لخمسين امرأة القيم الواحد. To the extent that 50 women will be supervised by one male, will be looked after, or there will be one male who is a guardian of 50 women. Now subhanAllah, this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ tells us when Judgment Day will occur, or the signs of the Day of Judgment. And if we are truthful with ourselves, and we can't lie to ourselves, majority of these signs are occurring right now. How many people are seeking religious knowledge, sacred knowledge? And jahal, or ignorance, is widespread. People say what they like about the deen. They won't dare say anything regarding another field because they're not experts. But when it comes to the deen, they'll say anything and everything. Ma'adallah. Zina, again, is widespread. It's happening. Youngsters are struggling to get married and then they're resorting to haram. This pressures of society, parents are not agreeing to marriages, and all sorts of problems are occurring. Alcohol is being drunk. It's easily available. People are drinking, people are consuming it. And the last sign, we can see remnants of that as well. So the best thing for a Muslim to do is gain knowledge of the deen, knowledge of when the hour will be established, and prepare for the afterlife. Not just be interested in learning about the hadith, which is good. To learn about the hadith, learn about the topics mentioned in the hadith. But the actual purpose behind all of this is to do amal. Allah Ta'ala enable us to prepare for the hereafter.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. That was the daily a hadith which was regarding the signs of the Day of Judgment, how a person should try and look at the signs of the Day of Judgment and prepare himself for the time when the trumpet will be blown or when everyone will be summoned and questioned. We should prepare for that day. As Muslims, that we should go and seek knowledge. As Muslims, the Prophet ﷺ said that it is farz upon every male and female Muslim to seek knowledge. It is necessary. And sadly, we see nowadays we've stopped this path. People in the past used to travel from the institute of an individual who traveled, I think, from Egypt to all the way to Sham on the motor transport that they had, I think, animals back then, from Egypt to all the way to Sham. Why? Just to hear Qala Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Just to hear what hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. Allah, that was the passion people had. That you will travel such a huge journey just to hear Qala Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam said. Just to hear hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And sadly nowadays, compared to that time, nowadays knowledge is widespread. You can get knowledge from a lot of avenues and venues. Go to your local Sunni scholar. Go to our website, www.dawatislami.net. Go on the section of books. Download books, read books. Our website has a lot of books available. And the good thing is there's no price on these books. It's free download. Go on the website, just download it and start reading. There's no cost on it. Read any book, open a book, aim to read at least 10 pages a day. And these booklets which I'm talking about, they're probably maximum 15 or 20 pages. Little A5 booklets size. Purchase them, download them and take benefits and start seeking knowledge. By traveling with these Madani Kafirs people, you get a lot of benefits. People travel on the Madani Kafirs and they learn things which they've never learned before. They learn things which they used to know, then they forgot. Or they just not had time, just use the excuse of not seeking knowledge, I've not time to go. Instead of people age of 60 going to Madani Kafirs without Salami, and at that age they learn the method of ghusl. Allahu Akbar. So these are things that we need to consider. And if anyone is interested in traveling with the Madani Kafirs of Dawat Islami, then you should go and to your local Fizan-e Medina. Go to your local Fizan-e Medina and ask them regarding more information of where, how you could go, where is the next Madani Kafir, when will they be leaving, attend these Madani Kafirs of Dawat Islami and take huge benefit. People like myself or other people that you see on this program, the reason why we are here is because of the Madani Kafirs of Dawat Islami. That we travel with the Kafirs of Dawat Islami and this enabled us to enhance our skills. I could tell you that initially you cannot even stand up and give a speech. Initially you cannot even talk like a dars from a book. Then over time by traveling with the Madani Kafirs of Dawat Islami, you develop skills, you enhance your skills and then you're able to build and get onto this platform. So come and join with the Madani Kafirs of Dawat Islami and see the benefits which you will gain. Inshallah, now we'll go on to the next segment. Inshallah, after that we'll come back and try and close this program. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sayyiduna Abu Malik Ash'ari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, As-salatu nurun, salah is light. Commenting on the above hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Alayhi Rahmatur Rahman has stated, Salah is the light of a Muslim's heart and face. It will be a means of light for him in his grave and on the day of judgment. On the bridge of Sirat, the mark of prostration will serve as a torch. Allah Almighty Azza wa Jal has said, Nuruhum yas'a bayna aydihim. Their light will be running ahead of them. The greatest and noblest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, Salah is the pillar of religion. One who establishes it, establishes the religion, and the one who abandons it, demolishes the religion. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. There are many blessings in keeping the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala. So now, one beautiful sunnah of our majestic Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is the sunnah of the zulf mubarak of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala. Keep long hair, keep zulfa. This is the blessed sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam. If you are willing, you may keep hair to half of your ears. As Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala stated, the Prophet sallallahu had blessed hair reaching half of his blessed ear. If you're willing, you may keep your hair up to your full ears. As Sayyidina Bara' bin Azib radiyallahu ta'ala stated, the Prophet sallallahu had a medium height. The distance between his blessed shoulders and his blessed hair would reach his blessed ears. Allahu Akbar. And Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha has stated, the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala had blessed hair little down to the earlobe and would reach the blessed shoulders. Allahu Akbar. And it is stated in Bahari Sharia that some people part their hair in the left or right side, which is against the sunnah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to part his hair from the middle. Some people just part it from one side or the other side. No, that is against the sunnah. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to part the hair from the middle. This is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should try and act upon these sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this will help us. By acting upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not only will it help us in this world, it'll help us in the hereafter. Inshallah, now we'll go on to the last segment, and when we come back, we'll be wrapping up the program. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
It's Dawat-e-Islami. It's a right to rectify the people.
Muslims of UK, especially Muslims of London, we are currently in Wembley, in the heart of London. Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami has great news for you. Dawud Islami has acquired this building, £5 million project, alhamdulillah. And in this building, we've calculated just now that we can get between 1,500 and 2,000 namazi in this particular building.
The fragrance of the love of the Prophet, it's all.
Inshallah, Azzawajal, this will also become a Madrasatul Madina, it become a Jamatul Madina, and we've also got plans for the Darul Madina schooling system in this particular building. However, we do need your help, and the help that we need is to raise the funds to purchase this building, inshallah. Please donate to this noble cause, inshallah. You'll see clips here as well, and alhamdulillah, we're also blessed that Amir al-Sunnat has also done dua for this particular building as well.
MashaAllah, Haji Abdul Habib ne khushkhabri di ki ek bahut qeemti jagah ka sauda hua hai London mein. Allah karega to wahan ek azim ushan madani markaz qaim hoga. Filhal to sauda hua, abhi to jagah bhi payment bhi karni hai. Allah kareem afiyat naseeb farmaye, aapki is kaavish ko qubool farmaye. Himmat rakhna, inshallah koshish karenge to sab kuch behtar ho jayega.
So please support us in this noble cause, so that inshallah azawajal, this generation of Muslims and future generation of Muslims, their iman can be safeguarded and we can produce the future scholars. So please support this noble cause.
Dawat Islami is purchasing this building. Please give your donation to Dawat Islami.
It's all over the world.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Today's topic was regarding death and how we should prepare ourselves for death. And every Muslim is aware and accepts and has a complete certainty that the story will not end with death. But rather, there is life after death. When we are lowered into the grave, the angels who will ask the question will come and will be asked questions in the grave. They'll be resurrected on the Yawm al-Qiyamah, where we'll be questioned regarding every single blessing. We know all of this act as if we do not and remain heedless. We continue to sin day and night, yet we audaciously remark that, oh, when people advise people and when people give good advice, what do people respond? Oh, we will see what will happen. We will see what will happen on that day. Allah, astaghfirullah. These rulings, they are mentioned in the Quran. They mentioned in the Hadith, the Day of Judgment in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned these warnings how many times? The amount of times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the Quran with emphasis, so that we can take a lesson that, oh heedless man, oh heedless humans, do not get busy in this luxury life. Do not instill the muhabbah of this dunya inside your hearts. Do not instill the love of this dunya in your hearts. What you need to do is you need to take this love of the dunya out of your heart and instill the love of the afterlife. Instill the love of paradise. Instill that love. Why? That love will enable you to do good in this world. And that love will enable you to act according to the teachings, according to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Inna batsha rabbika lashadeed. Indeed, the grip of your Lord is very severe. I'lamu anna Allaha shadeedul iqabi wa anna Allaha ghafurur rahim. Know that the torment of Allah is severe and that Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Inna rahmatullahi kareebun min al muhsineen. Indeed, the mercy of Allah is close to the righteous. And these is the three verses, different verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned regarding, has said that His grip is very severe. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, torment is very severe. If spending these precious moments of your life is in useless things and expecting reward in the hereafter, or committing sins and then hoping for salvation and not foolishness, then what is? Even though no action is of use unless the mercy and grace of Allah Almighty accompanies a person, it is those who perform good deeds that are showered with the mercy and grace of Allah Almighty. Today, if a person who moved towards hell draws closer to it and distances himself from those actions which lead to paradise, wishes to go towards paradise in the hereafter, he'll be prevented to do so. At that time, he will accept his foolishness and understand the value of this life. But realization at that time will be fruitless. There'll be no use. If instead of living this life, living this materialistic world, instead of doing acts which go against the path of going to paradise, we should hold the path that takes you to paradise. Take that road. Do acts which will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once on the Day of Judgment, there's no coming back from that. You'll regret. You'll regret severely on that day. You'll ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you one more chance, but on that day you cannot have more chances. Why? Because the world has finished. The dunya has finished. Why do you want to go back? Instead of realizing then, realize now. Realize the true reality now. Alhamdulillah. We have been honored and we have been blessed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have, in the form of having this huge environment of Dawat-e-Islami, a non-political, global, international movement of Quran and Sunnah. The Islami's mission, what is it? I must strive to rectify myself and the people of the entire world. This is the mission statement of Dawat-e-Islami. That we need to make ourselves better and the entire world. This is the platform of Dawat-e-Islami, which will provide different avenues for a person to become a better Muslim. We have Madrasatul Madina, Jamiatul Madina, adults, tajweed classes, Madri channel, courses, many other departments we have, prison majlis, youth, Shobat Aleem, youth work, youth majlis, youth department. We have so many departments in Dawood Islami. And we attach ourselves to this environment of Dawood Islami. Attach ourselves to this beautiful environment. Inshallah, you'll see the benefits. Today, you may have watched Port Madani channel on. This may be your first time you put Madani channel on. If it is, then this is the only channel which is 100% Sharia compliance. There's no advertisements. There's no non-mahrams on this show. This show is 100% Sharia compliance. When you watch the show, there's no chance of you committing any sins. There's no music. There's nothing. Or you're going to sit down, watch TV, and you'll be getting reward. Why? Because you'll be seeking knowledge. This is the environment of Dawood Islami. Dawood Islami is for everyone. You just don't need to be the murid of Maulana Ilyas Attar Qadri. This organization, not just for his murideens, no. Amir al-Sunnah has made this organization for the whole of Ahl al-Sunnah. He has made this for the entire world to join and get benefits of this company and of this movement of Dawood Islam. So it'll be my request that whoever is watching, please attach yourself to this beautiful environment of Dawood Islam. You see the benefits you'll gain. Not only you will gain that benefit, but your children will also gain that benefit. And today is time up. We'll end of the show. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll be back again. And inshallah, till next time. Tussallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun